and welcome to F2, the road to F1, where every fortnight we chat with the future stars of Formula One. This week, we speak with one of Britain's brightest talents, Jack Aitken.
It's a tough world sometimes, and it's easy for teams to do that, but they didn't. They supported me. They sort of asked what I needed, what I wanted, what could be done, and tried to help me. And when I needed to be told that you just got to buck up your ideas and change something, then they said that as well.
The Campos racing driver is in his second season in Formula 2, having raced for ART in his rookie year. And with his role as test driver for Renault, Aitken is within touching distance of a dream drive in Formula One. You're listening to F2, the road to F1. Hello, I'm Rosanna Tennant, and I'm thrilled to be joined by Alex Jakes. Alex, great to be back. Talking about Jack Aitken now, what has been your moment of the year for Jack so far?
I think he's moved to win his home race at Silverstone. He's one of the big characters in this paddock. We always ask the drivers in the quickfire round, who's the funniest person in this paddock? He comes up so many times. He's very popular with the drivers in the paddock. He wasn't popular with Louis Delatraz when he dive-bombed him to get past and win his home race. I think that's the overtake of the year in Formula 2 and surely the highlight of his season.
And what did you make of your interview with Jack without giving too much away?
He's a very interesting and honest character. He always is quite thoughtful. But before we get to that interview, I think it's time to hear your scouting report of the man himself.
Jack Aitken was born on the 23rd of September 1995, a day before David Coulthard won the 1995 Portuguese Grand Prix for Williams. Aitken was born in London and began his karting career at Buckmore Park, age 7. Jack entered his first full season of Formula Renault Euro Cup in 2014 with Fortec Motorsports. He won one race at the Hungaroring and finished on the podium 4 times. A season later, he moved to the Euro Cup Formula Renault 2.0, where he won the title at the final round in Jerez, just 1 week after winning the Formula Renault Alps title at the same track. In January 2016, it was announced Jack would step up to the GP3 series with Arden International. In his maiden season, he claimed victory at the Belgian Grand Prix and claimed 6 additional podiums to finish 5th in the overall standings. He stayed in GP3 for 2017, but switched to ART Grand Prix, a win in Hungary helping him to second in the championship. In January 2018, ART Grand Prix announced Aitken would join their Formula 2 team for the upcoming season. He took his first victory in the Barcelona sprint race. For the 2019 season, Aitken moved to Campos Racing, where he took the team's first ever win in Formula 2 at the Azerbaijan feature race. Jack has been part of Renault F1's Young Driver programme since February 2016. Now you know a little bit more about Jack Aitken, I think it's time we listen to the full interview that he gave to Alex Jakes.
Jack Aitken, good to speak to you. Jack, you always seem to be surrounded by a super supportive family, your girlfriend as well at races. How important is it to you to have them alongside you? Or is it not something you technically get to choose?
Well, you know, we can have an opinion on these things, but sometimes you get overruled. No, it's really nice. I really like having my family around, and motorsport is a huge part of our life as a family because, you know, we've been doing it for ages since me and Max were kids. Max works in paddock club now with my girlfriend, and it's you know, our calendar revolves around these race weekends, so it's nice that we all travel together and we're all there sometimes, and you get to share it, so that's nice. Yeah.
Well, let's see if you think it's nice at the end of a brand new round I like to call Are the Things Your Family Have Told Me True?
Oh, for God's sake. I told them not to do this and they have disobeyed me.
Well, they haven't disobeyed you because this is like a season review of things that they have told me. They have behaved themselves after you stopped giving him stuff to say when I'm on the podium.
The Iron Curtain came down after Monza.
Number one, you used to eat cucumbers and put them back in the fridge.
I dispute that. I used to eat cucumbers a lot, but I would cut off the bit that I wanted to eat and eat them like a gentleman and then put the cucumber back.
You had a rap about dinosaurs, which you still know today.
Again, dispute. I'm not sure I know it today, but apparently I did have a dinosaur rap as a kid. So, yeah. Stay in school, kids.
You sleep with your eyes open.
Okay, I can't dispute that one.
That's freaky, man.
I'm sure it's an Asian thing. I don't know. My eyes don't quite fully close when I'm... Especially if I drift off on a car or a plane. It's slightly horrifying for everyone around.
Freaking
me.
Everyone out. You were once such a diva, you shouted, I'm the chosen one.
Taken out of context.
And that concludes our brand new round, Other Things Your Family Have Told Me True.
Oh, good.
Which is only for your podcast, my friend. So no one else
because
has had
I'm
to suffer
special.
That.
We need more family members offering up dirty secrets.
Yeah, offering up the dirt. If
next
you have
year, it, maybe.
If you have any dirt on your on your driver, sibling, or son, or daughter, always feel free to tell the podcast.
Just inbox the Formula 2 channel at Jake and Racer or at jackaitken.com, and we will forward any information from there.
Very good. On the back of that, let's go back to the start of your racing journey. When and where did you first sit in a go-kart?
I first sat in a go-kart for a birthday party when I was 7 years old. It was probably somewhere in central London in an indoor kart track. And for the next 6 months, I was then pestering my dad to go back. And he foolishly complied because he should have encouraged me to take up tennis or something. That would have been much, much cheaper. But yeah, I went back to karting and started at Buckmore Park and just fell in love with it, really. Yeah.
So talk me through your career from there. How did things progress up until 2015?
So that's a long time. Okay, here we go.
You can do it very briefly.
In October 2007, I took my, very briefly, from the ages of probably 7 until 13, I'm going to say. I didn't take it, well, I took it seriously, but maybe my ambitions weren't crazy. I just wanted to go racing on the weekend. And, it's, like I said, a nice thing for me and my family to do. From that point, started taking it a bit more seriously. We did a couple of national championships, European championships in karting, and finished all right in them, second in European championships. But from that point, started looking at cars and started cars in 2012 in Intersteps UK with Fortec Motorsports. And that was a relatively small grid, but a great place to learn off people like Matt Parry, who were a bit more experienced than me at that point. Did that, came third, did Formula Renault then, jumped into that, doing things like the Formula Renault NEC back in the day, Northern European Championship. Then progressed to Euro Cup, won the Euro Cup in 2015 alongside Alps titles and Pro Mazda Winterfest. And that was my first year of racing without school. So that was like kind of a breakthrough moment because I could actually test and stuff. That was cool. Yeah. And not study for exams in my spare time on weekends.
It's interesting because that was such an impressive year for you. That's sort of put you on the map as a junior driver to watch. And then from there to GP3, what expectations did you have coming to one of the great things about GP3, now Formula 3, is that you're racing on the support built for F1 weekends. That's a big step up to go from the Euro Cup to an F1 weekend.
Yeah, it is, because I remember after we won the Euro Cup and obviously Renault got in contact, we became part of the academy and all of that. But we were looking at what the next step was, and GP3 was an option. But the more traditional route at the time was for Euro Cup winner to go to World Series by Renault, as it was, and we were 3.5. But that was kind of dying off at that point. Renault withdrew their support, so GP3 was a more logical thing. But looking back in the history books, very few people had made the jump from Formula Renault to GP3. They'd usually done F3 first or something else, and nobody had come in the top five in their first year as a rookie in Formula Renault. So we knew it would be a bit of a challenge, and the tyres and everything is so different. Yeah. Your running time is a lot less. But it was actually great fun. We had a horrible first half of the year as I got to grips with the tyres and everything. And then a mega end of the year where we had something like 7 podiums, nearly 6 in a row or something like that. So, yeah, it was really cool. And it was a stellar grid that year as well with people like Leclerc, Albon, De Vries was there. Who else? We had Fukuzumi. Yeah, it was really top-notch. Jake Dennis, my teammate, who's now in the world of GTs, enjoying life.
He is. Did they used to call him at Arden? They used to call him Fat Boy because he was so tall.
I heard no such slurs against such a. He was quite skinny.
You were a very entertaining combo though, because you came roaring through at the end of the season. So you go in, you join ART for the next season, and it was a ferocious battle between you and your teammates. Then thinned out to be you versus George. In 2017, talk us through that season, because you came in with so much momentum and then you're in contention for the title all the way through.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously at the end of the year with Arden in 2016, like you say, we had a lot of momentum, so the logical thing to do was to go with ART, who have such success in that series. You know, they're a dominant team there. And they had a great lineup again. It was me, George, Antoine, and Nire, all great drivers. And it was really, really tough because, in a way, yes, we were almost, it was almost an ART battle at the front, but we did have the Tridents challenging us from time to time. And when you can see all of your teammates' data like that, it becomes very, very difficult to to make a difference. And obviously, George did a really good job as a rookie, came in and won from his experience in F3. And it was a really tough year, actually. I didn't quite gel with the car. It was still a really good result, but it actually was quite a frustrating time for me and quite a bit disappointing. But Renault were great through all of that. Started doing some F1 tests that year as well, which was really cool. And was still generally loving life. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the only time that I've ever seen the smile disappear for longer than a couple of minutes was Jerez at the end of that year.
I was not a happy boy there.
You were not?
No.
It was a very interesting weekend, that. And the great thing is that you are always very open. That when it's going well, when it's going badly, you will communicate. You don't hide away like some others do.
Whether that's for better or worse, definitely sometimes for worse. Unfortunately, that's the kind of... I don't know what word, the community that we're in, it's results driven, and people will expect certain things of you. So when you have a bad result, there's not a lot you can say, but it's still good to say something, I think.
So you move from GP3, where you were the runner-up, to Formula 2. Do you think it was a mistake?
I can see you trying to articulate this question very carefully. I'll save you. It was a crap year. It was really difficult. I think that was mainly... Well, it's very, very difficult. Even now, looking back in hindsight, there's not a clear, you know, thing you can point out 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
But I think what was clear, and I think they'd agree with me, was I stayed on with ART, obviously. Again, great team in Formula 2, have had a lot of success, not least with George. And we just didn't quite get it right. I struggled with the car. We couldn't really find the solutions that I was happy with. And... Things kind of deteriorated through the year. It was, we tried really hard. The first half of the year, we had some highlights coming through in Baku to get a podium, winning in Barcelona. And we were kind of up there here and there, but it just wasn't really working. And unfortunately, the season went on a few rounds too long for me. It was, a real struggle by the end of the year.
Basically interview yourself, Jack.
I know, well, yeah. Multi-talented, etc., etc.
We'll never know if I could have phrased that question diplomatically. We'll have to guess. You mentioned the win, you mentioned the difficult moments, all the while Renault standing by you, part of that academy. You've spoken about them backing you in the past. Talk us through how that relationship works and what you do for them and what backing they give you.
Yeah, I mean, that year in particular was really good on their side because it's not easy to, when you see one of your drivers, I imagine, when you see one of your drivers struggling like that and not quite getting the results that you all want to, you see some other programs where they will kind of just throw you out to the fishes.
And I don't know who you mean.
I wouldn't suggest anything, but yeah, I mean, it's a tough world sometimes, and it's easy for teams to do that, but they didn't. They supported me. They sort of asked what I needed, what I wanted, what could be done, and tried to help me. And when I needed to be told that, like, you just got to buck up your ideas and change something, then they said that as well. But my saving grace that year was actually the F1 testing I did, because I did the rookie test in Barcelona for the first time driving a contemporary car, and I also did some of the Pirelli testing for the team in places like Suzuka, which was just incredible. But the best thing about it was it kind of proved to me that I was still the driver that I hoped I was, knew I was, in a way. Struggling every weekend in Formula 2, trying to get a result when it was so just really tough and not going the way I wanted it to, and then jumping in the F1 car another weekend, and you're looking at the data from the race drivers and thinking, well, this isn't so bad, actually. This is very decent, and Renault were very helpful with that as well, and very pleased with the progress I was making on that side.
You mentioned that you're part of the Renault Academy. You knew Antoine Hubert very well. How do you reflect on the risks of the sport and what happened on that dreadful weekend in Belgium?
I mean, we were all in a way quite close to Antoine. I mean, some of the guys, obviously we've got a couple of French drivers in the academy, and they were particularly close to Antoine, I think it's fair to say, not least you know, drivers in the paddock. But it's a tough one, because I think I'd be lying if I said to everyone, we were best mates, and I'm, you know, that's why it's so devastating. And because, you know, we were friends, but almost more colleagues, and colleagues in what is, like you say, quite a dangerous sport. And I think because of that, we had quite a good respect. We've been racing since Formula Renault in 2014, so, you know, we knew each other very well. We've had a lot of difficult moments and good moments together as teammates, as not. And it's just, like you say, it's unfair. It's a tragedy, and, you know, nothing's gonna really make that better but time. And I think we all recognise that, and it's just about sort of picking ourselves up and staying together. But that was what was so nice on the Thursday of Monza. After a shocking 3 days, you know, yeah. You walked into the paddock and everyone was there, and everyone was pulling together, hugging each other, saying, you know, we're all here if you need us. And the way it pulled together like that was incredible. But I can share one or two stories about Antoine. One in particular, actually, which is my favourite now, was this dates back to 2015. So the very first race of the year, Imola Alps. He was racing for Tech One, a French team, and I was racing for Corianen. Both our first race. Antoine won the race on Saturday, and I won the race on Sunday. And we were really closely matched the whole weekend. And I was sort of thinking, for God's sake, you know, I've been through testing. I've been, like, smashing lap records. We've been in really good pace, and this French guy just keeps turning up. And on the Sunday, actually, we had a bit of argy-bargy in one of the corners, which led to him being in the gravel and me winning. But he finished second, actually, still. But that inevitably took us to the stewards' room, where we sat outside as drivers do, and we were sort of talking about it and saying, yeah, he said, I was on the outside, you know, there wasn't a lot you could do. I was on the dirty part of the track, ran out of track. That's just how it is, you know, I get it. I was like, you know, he's a decent guy, because I hadn't really spoken to him much before. We walk into the stewards room, I sit down, I give my account of it, I say, yeah, I think, you know, it's just one of those racing incidents, isn't it? It's just he was on the outside and ran out of space, and that's that. It's no big deal. And they say, oh, Antoine, can you tell us what happened? And he says, yeah, well, frankly, I think it's ridiculous what Jack did. He left me no space at all. I was completely alongside. I think I was in front of him, and he just pushed me off, and I was staring at him this whole time, like, what? You
just betrayal.
You bastard. Yeah, betrayal. And he pulled exactly the same trick on me in Red Bull Ring this year after I clipped my front wing on the rear of him in race two, I think it was. Yeah. Same thing. Before the stewards meeting, we're chatting away, having a joke, and it's all banter, and he's fine. And we walk into the stewards room, and he's just ripping me to pieces. Like, that's the kind of stuff that we remember about him, and we remember the best of him. That's the only way to do it, I think.
Well said, and great story. This season, you moved to a team that's been successful before in Campos, but it hasn't had a title challenge in a very long time. Therefore, you must be very satisfied by how the season's gone.
Yeah, I think we all are. It's, you know, a lot of people that have spoken to me about this, but I think it's important to stress how far Campos have come, even in the last year or so, because they've done a great job going up against, frankly, the giants of junior motorsport, Dams, ART, Prema, even people like Virtuosi, as it's now known. These guys have got so much resource. They're almost mini Formula One teams, and I think we're doing a really good job with what we've got to come in and really challenge those guys and to win races. We've been a bit unlucky here and there. I've made some mistakes, and you know, it's not gone perfectly all around, but we're right up there, and actually I think we're almost a little bit disappointed that the gap to Nick is as big as it is. But, you know, he's been very consistent,
yeah.
Which is what title challenges are made of. So that's, it's been quite satisfying, though, in that way.
Was the highlight of the season your overtake on Louis Delatraz to take the lead of your home race?
It probably was, yeah.
Because that was a hell of a move.
Yeah. It was almost a bit unnecessary because, I mean, I spoke to Louis afterwards and he was like, you know, you were lucky that I saw you. I was like, yeah, I know. And he, But it was one of those moments where I caught him up on that lap and I thought, well, I don't know how much he's got left in the tyres. This might be it. I've got to take my chance. If there's like half a chance, I'm going to take it. It's your home race. You might never get the chance to win at Silverstone again because, you know, motorsport being the way it is. So just go for it. And I went for it. I was like, oh, that's perfect. I've done it. Like, as you pull out, you just know. And yeah, to stand in front of my home crowd was unreal. It's one of my favorite moments ever.
Fantastic stuff. We always finish by asking about the future. Do you see the path to Formula One in front of you?
I think every driver always sees the path somewhere. It just gets a bit windy and diluted. Yeah, it's tough sometimes. But no, we're looking at our options. I can't, unfortunately, tell you what I'm going to do next year yet.
I mean, you totally could.
I totally could, but I can't. So I'm going to leave everyone guessing. But hopefully it's not too long before we know. And yeah, we're just looking at our options. The dream of Formula One is still very much alive for me. But, you know, we just have to wait and see. That's all I can say. Yeah.
And on that cliffhanger, good luck for the rest of the season. Thanks for your time, Jack Aiken.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
A great interview there with Jack, Alex. He is so cheeky. You said at the beginning of the podcast that he's got this great character to him, a very popular person. We see him quite a lot in the F1 paddock. Of course, he's got his Driver Academy duties with Renault, but also he's been part of the Twitter show, the Formula One Twitter show at the end of races, and he manages to just get the best out of people as well. So he's kind of flicking between driver and broadcaster. We should look out for our jobs.
Yeah, it is a little bit too handy with the microphone. I'm not happy about that at all. No, he's a natural broadcaster and he's very good at explaining a very complex sport. We have been speaking not only, but to the people who know him well, and that includes his former teammate, Tatiana Calderon.
I've been racing against Jack and I've been teammates with Jack in 2016 in GP3.
So Tatiana, what dirt can you tell us about Jack Aitken? You called him in your podcast on F2, the Road to F1, the funniest person in the paddock. We've just heard 20 minutes from him. I'm not too sure. What can you tell us about him that we don't already know?
Well, where to start? I think Jack is a character. He's a true gentleman as well. It's always been a pleasure to work with him, to have him as a competitor, because he knows how to separate like serious stuff in the racetrack and then being a really cool guy outside of the helmet. As I said, super super funny, super fit, very smart. So, yeah, it's really nice to share time with him.
Has he paid you to be this nice? I can't believe, I've never heard a driver being so nice about another driver. What can you tell us, what are his bad habits? Is he messy? Is he a diva? Is he difficult?
Because, you know, he had birthday a few days ago and he blackmailed me with one picture where I did not eat that cake. It was a pizza with Nutella, but he sent me that picture. It was like 4 years ago and I was like trying to find how to blackmail him. So I thought, okay, I'll give him a good note here.
Very good. And what's Jack's strongest trait as a driver?
I think he's really good at reading the situations and adapting himself quite quickly. That's why I think he's also been really good in the rain and changing conditions.
It's always nice to hear what other people in the paddock think about the drivers. And Alex, you held on to Jack a little bit longer to ask him some quickfire questions. Let's hear his answers.
Okay, favourite movie?
Cool Runnings.
Nice, good shout. Favourite book?
Oh, God. Andrea Agassi, Open.
Nice. We don't get very many answers for favourite book in the paddock.
That's not a good reflection.
It's not good, is it? We'll have a book club. Favourite activity away from motorsport?
Cycling at the moment, because I'm wholesome and fitness freaky like that. Yeah.
Funniest person in the F2 paddock?
I wish Nero was still here. 100% would be Nero otherwise.
He was gold.
It's not easy. There's a lot of people who are quite funny, I would say.
High standards.
But Nero set a bar that I think can't... I'm going to say Nero, even with an asterisk. XF F2 driver.
Closest friend in the F2 paddock?
God damn it, Nero.
you missed that dude so badly.
Yeah. I'm terrible at this because I just forget who's in the F2 field. I'm really bad. And, you know, we all hate each other as well, obviously, because we compete. Dorian as well, when he was teammate in the earlier part of the F2 season, we got on really well. So,
Very good. Favourite racetrack?
Suzuka.
And if you could invite any three people to a dinner party, they could be famous, they can be family, they can be friends. You go wild. Have fun with it.
Oh, my. Well, family I see all the time, so sorry, guys. Yeah, not happening. Well, I'm told by a reliable source that Nicholas Latifi was asked this very question earlier, and he said my name. So I'd have to reciprocate and say...
Deliberately? Or was he...
What are you saying? Of course, deliberately. I'm very funny and great entertainment. So I'd have to reciprocate, and Nicholas would come to my dinner party. If we're going to really open up the rules here, I've always wanted, I would have said Jim Clark. Just because being half Scottish, yeah, legend of the sport and all that. You know, he's probably got some tips for us. And then Ted Kravitz, because, you know, Ted's notebook, you know, we want to get the inside scoop. So
no one has said Ted Kravitz so far this year. That is a horrible betrayal of Buxton as well. That's gonna say.
Well, I spend so much time with Will anyway. You know, he knows that I love him. He knows. You know, Will. It's all right.
Wow. Okay, Ted Kravitz at his dinner party to spite Will.
Despite all of those Twitter shows with Will.
Now that is upsetting listening. I hope when Will Buxton hears this, there aren't tears.
He won't be pleased. He will be... I mean, he's been betrayed there by Jack Aitken.
It's over. Watch out. The next Twitter show, I can't wait to watch it, Alex. Thank you very much to Jack Aitken and Campos Racing. Stay up to date with the latest news from Formula 2 via the website, as well as Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Subscribe and rate the podcast on iTunes or your podcast provider. But now, from me, Rosanna Tennant, and...
me, Alex Jakes.
It's goodbye, isn't it?